Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. It's Real Ghost Stories Online live tonight. Spirits with Spirits, Tony and Jenny Brewski, joining you once again to hear your ghost stories. Phone line to call in on this live version of the program is 216-446-7810, 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10. The phone lines are open to call in live. It's a different number than we normally use if you're listening to the podcast, not at this exact time that we're doing it live. That's not the number to call in normally, but if you're watching us live on Facebook, call in and we will hear your ghost story on the air live tonight. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
How are you?
I am doing well on this this fine evening. It's warm finally, so I'm enjoying that. It's been kind of I have no room to speak because I know like a lot of folks up in we were just talking to my mom earlier. It's her birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. And she's like, yeah, there's still piles of snow in the yard.
Oh, I know.
In Wisconsin, so I don't really have much room to speak about cold.
No, we've been complaining because it's been barely creeping out of the 40s the past couple of weeks, but we're back up to normal now.
Yeah, I think my definition of cold has changed. You know, it used to be cold meant up there, you know, under zero, 20s, 20 and below, really.
Was right.
You could still get away with a lot of stuff even like in the 30s. It's like, it's still the 30s. It's not quite jacket weather yet.
Yeah, it
you know?
Is.
But, now cold to me is like 60, right around there. I remember as a kid going and breaking out the slip and slide the first day it turned 60.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
I did. I know. You're like, you won't even go like in a pool if it's not 80.
It has to be 85.
85?
For me to get in the pool.
I get it.
Yeah. I don't do it if it's below 85.
If it's heated water, I'll get it in at almost any temperature.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, but the temperature needs to be.
But, you know, Down where I'm from,
sure.
At least back when I lived there, there weren't a lot of heated pools because
No.
You didn't need them heated.
No.
So you needed, you know, to wait till it was warm to get in.
Yeah, I understand.
And I don't like cold at all.
Yeah, I've grown not accustomed to it, so I'm happy with warmer weather. Let's go to our first caller, then we'll talk about our spirit this evening. Casey's caller here at 567. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, caller, are you there?
This is Jen from Ohio.
Hey, Jen, welcome to the show. Got a ghost story for us tonight?
Hi. My dad died in 2010, and he used to play pranks on me. And after he died, my door would lock by itself, or I would turn my TV on, and it would be smacked out volume, and just little stuff like that. But one night, I went to bed and I woke up to something slapping my bed, or when I stopped slapping my bed. And so I sat up and I thought maybe my fitted sheet had just flipped off the corner of the bed. Mm-hmm. And I looked, I didn't see anything, so I laid down and tried to go back to sleep, and I felt it again, but this time I felt the bed move, like I felt the pressure from the hit on the corner of the bed. And so I sat up and I looked around again and I didn't see anything. And the sheet was still on the bed. And so I laid down again and tried to go back to sleep. And then it happened again. And this time it was harder and I felt the hit on the bed, and I sat up and I looked around, and I felt like it was my dad, and I said, okay, you're scaring me. Can you please stop? And it stopped, and ever since then, my dad hasn't messed with me or anything, so I think maybe I made him feel bad that he scared me, or I don't know.
Sure.
It's just really weird.
Well, I think it's kind of a touchy road when you're a ghost and you want to like have a presence in someone's life. And whether it be, you know, kind of jokey like he was in real life, where he doesn't want to scare you and like make you, you know, wish him away or
right.
expel him from the premises, you know, but still kind of project his personality, you know, still there that you knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that one with us. Really appreciate the call.
Thanks.
All right. You have a great night. The phone number is 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10, to share your real ghost story with us. Our spirit tonight comes from Casey Jones Distillery in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Now, this is what it looks like. They have actually several. They sent us Casey's Cut Apple. And yeah, sure, go ahead and bring them down. And the Total Eclipse, which was actually made last year for the eclipse. And that's these are all moonshines. And then Casey's Cut Apple, a nice kind of sweet apple flavor to it. And then the Casey's Barrel Cut is the one that we are consuming this evening. And the story with these guys is back during the days of Prohibition, in Kentucky, Casey Jones, who is its namesake is after, was kind of like the godfather of moonshine in the area, known for making it faster than anyone else and making some of the best stuff, and really known for making, amazing stills. Well, his grandson is now in control of the making of all this. So it still exists. They still follow a lot of the recipes to this day, and really make a quality product. And I said, you know, I'm not like a super big moonshine person normally, but we tried this one and I like them all actually from them. But it really, if you're like a whiskey drinker or something, this is a real nice oaky, smoky flavor to it.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. So, if you're ever in that area, of the world, and I know it's on, it's literally on Golden Pond. I don't know if it's on Golden Pond as in the movie Golden Pond, but, it's on a pond called Golden Pond, in that area. But really, really good stuff. So thank you guys. Casey Jones Distillery. Check them out. Real good stuff. Thanks for being our spirit with spirit here this evening. We got two calls coming in. Caller at 912. Hang on the line. You're going to be next. But caller at 479 has dialed in first. So let's go over there. Hi, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Jeanette. I'm calling from Eureka Springs, Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Jeanette, how are you doing?
Good. How are you, Joe?
Doing good. Got a good ghost story for us from Eureka Springs?
I have several from Eureka Springs, but the story I wanted to share with you is actually from State College, Pennsylvania.
All right.
Grew up in Pennsylvania, and it was a house that a group of friends and I were renting in town, and it was a pretty scary place, and we had a lot of things happen there for the year that we lived there. It started off with just your basic noises, and, you know, the lights would turn off or on, or we'd hear the faucet would turn on upstairs. There were three bedrooms upstairs, and then there was, like, a mini apartment downstairs with another kitchen and a full bedroom and everything. And my boyfriend and I lived downstairs, so I would be downstairs by myself, and I would hear, you know, the door open and close, and I would think that my roommate had come home and there'd be nobody there. And so that happened for a while, and it wasn't really bothersome because I'd, you know, grown up in houses where strange things had happened and I didn't think much about it. But then my roommate started having, all of them started having sleep paralysis, everyone who had one of the bedrooms upstairs. And they all described the same thing. They said that there was a tall man standing at the foot of their bed, just completely black, you know, no features or anything, with a tall hat on. And after that start, after they had those dreams, things started getting really kind of crazy. We had, my one roommate had a little girl that lived there, and she had the other bedroom downstairs with us. And she would wake up in the middle of the night, and the covers would be ripped off of her bed. And this kept happening. And after that, all the cats in the house started sleeping down there on her bed, and then it stopped happening. Like, every we had, like, four cats in the house, and they all started sleeping down there on her bed. And then we started hearing more, like, scratching noises and things on the walls. And the creepiest thing that happened, or the, I guess, when it really escalated, was we were having a dinner party, and we had a group of people in the living room, a couple people cooking in the kitchen, and there was a big open doorway between the two. And we were telling all of our friends about the creepy stuff that had been happening there, and, you know, kind of sharing our stories and everything. And there were, we had these big, those big votive candles, you know, the big glass ones. And my friend had a bunch of those lit for movie lighting around the living room. And as we were talking about all the things that had happened, all of the candles, like there must have been 10 or 12 of them, just blew out at once. And we lit them all. We like tried to open and close the door and create a breeze, and we couldn't even get the flames to flicker. And so we were all kind of freaking out about that. And as we were standing there freaking out about that, all three of the chairs in the kitchen flipped over at once. And not long after that, we, or at least was that, only moved out of the house. But it was pretty crazy.
I would
sounds
say
like
so.
It. Yeah, that doesn't sound like a good spirit. And it's interesting that the cats chose to protect the little girl, because they say cats ward off evil spirits. I don't know how much of that's true, but four of them seem to protect her.
Cats are interesting.
Yeah, you know? We thought that was weird too.
What gets me is the flames. The you can't even get them to flicker.
Yeah,
and that's just.
Yeah.
I would be very disturbed by that.
Yeah.
If I were in that that situation at that moment in time, my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah, we were happy to move out of that place, definitely.
I can imagine. Well, hey, thanks for calling in tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys for everything. We love you. We listen to you all the time.
All right, you take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 216-446-7810, the phone number to call in and share your ghost story with us live. If you call in, you may be on hold for a little bit, but feel free to call in. Our caller at 912, we're going to you next. 216-GHOST 10 is the phone number. Kevin says he's from the area, 30 minutes from there, about the Golden Pond with Casey Jones. And we do have a Golden Pond in the land between the lakes known for moonshiners. So,
okay.
Lots of that going on.
Yeah.
Let's go to the caller at 912. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm Jeremy from in Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, hey, Jeremy.
Okay.
Welcome to the program. I'm assuming you probably got a ghost story.
Yeah, I do. It's the only one I've ever had. You know, growing up, I've always liked horror movies and always been into scary stuff. And never, me and my friends will always go down, you know, down to Savannah, to places, and always try to get something to happen, try to find evidence. And we would never have anything happen. I've never had anything happen since this house we lived in. But me and two of my friends rented a house when we graduated high school, and it was in Rinkin. It's about 20 minutes north of Savannah.
Okay.
And we all moved in, and nobody had any problems until about a week into it. The TV would come on in the living room, it'd turn wide open and be on a channel that nobody was watching, the staticky channel, when, you know, before the digital stuff, it'd just come on and be just loud as it could be, just
yep.
Static. And I'd get up and go turn it off. And it happened just once during the night at random times every night. This would happen. And it got where when I go to bed, I would turn off the switch on the surge protector. It was a surge protector to everything at the entertainment center was plugged in. Went to bed about maybe 3 or 4. It came on. I go in the living room and the switch is on the surge protector and the TV's on wide open. And I'm thinking one of my friends is doing it, you know, messing with me. But he comes out the bedroom right there by the living room, and he's like, "What the hell are you doing?" I'm like, I was about to ask you the same thing. You know, this is getting ridiculous. And he swears he wasn't doing anything. We had a cat that started acting crazy. We'd just sit and stare. We'd be watching TV, and the cat would, like, kind of look up like somebody walked into the room, and nobody was there, and it'd freak out and just run off down the hall. And the biggest thing, the worst thing, I guess, that happened was my girlfriend was in the shower one night. We were getting ready to go out. It was just me and her. My other two friends were gone. And I was going to mess with her. You know, I was standing in the kitchen, and down the hall, it was all dark, no lights on in the back of the house. I stand there by the door because I hear the shower turn off. She's about to get out. And I was going to just scare her when she come out, messing with her. The door opens, and she walks out. And she's got a blue towel around her, and I'm walking behind her, like stepping with my feet, walking with her. You know how you just walk real close to somebody, and I could, like, she was right, not even a foot in front of me. I could have just grabbed her and hugged her right there, but I was going to just follow her into my bedroom and scare her when she got in there and turn on the light. And we walk into the bedroom, and she just walks straight in the room and doesn't turn on the light. And I'm like, what the hell? And I stop, and I turn the light on, and there's nobody in front of me. And it's like everything, it's like the sound in my ears kind of shoop, made this, like, vacuuming feel. And I look back down the hall. The door shut to the bathroom. The light is on inside, and I walk down to the door. The shower is still on. She never got out of the shower. And that's how she gets out of the shower and sees that I'm just, like, white as a ghost. And she's like, what's wrong? And I told her what happened, and she kind of blew it off. She acted like, yeah, right, whatever. She thought I was trying to scare her then, you know, just telling her that. But that's just something I'll never forget. And that was the crazy, that was just, I don't know if you'd call that a doppelganger or what it would be, but.
What would you call
it? It was her. I was walking behind her. I could smell her. I could. And she just, like, she walks into the bedroom and keeps walking in the darkness, and I can't see. I turn the light on, and she's not there. She's still in the shower. She never got out.
I would call that a doppelganger.
That was, it blew me away. I mean, it was just amazing. That, you know, always wanting something to happen, and then we live in this house and have little just noises and TV coming on, and I don't know. It was crazy. It's, like I said, I always wanted to believe in ghosts and always wanted something to happen, and I've never had anything happen since then. Never seen anything, heard any noises or anything since I moved out of the house, and that was about probably 10 years ago.
Have you had your fill now? Are you content with having ghostly experiences? Would you die a happy man at old age, having that been your only ghost experience?
Yeah, I would, because, I mean, I knew that happened, and I know what happened, and I saw it with my own eyes, and I don't know. It was just, like I said, we go to scary places all the time. You know, I even take my kids now and my wife, and we don't ever have any experiences. But
when you said earlier, when you go to some of those places, and you said you try to get things to happen, what exactly are you doing to try to get things to happen?
I guess not trying, just, you know, going to the places and visiting. Like, we stayed the night at, this the inn downtown, just supposedly haunted. And
okay.
Never had it. I got a little digital recorder. I've tried to get EVPs and hadn't been successful at it. I've tried a Ouija board. I didn't get it. I couldn't get it to work.
Be careful with that.
Yeah, I know. That was before I knew all the things that came with it.
Before Ouija Awareness Month.
Real quick, though, there was one night, we had about 10 friends that were in the living room of this house, and it was pretty much after a party, and we were all kind of sitting around in the living room, mm-hmm. and the doorknob to the door going outside, it jerked, you know, back and forth like somebody was trying to come in. My friend jumped up, opened the door, and nobody was there. That happened a lot, too, in the house. It's like you'd be in a room, and the doorknob would jiggle like somebody's trying to come in, and there'd be nobody on the other side of it.
That to me, is as dangerous as three knocks, you know, yeah. Just kind of trying to trick you to let it in. And I'm just, right. No.
Let's play a round of what would Jenny do?
No.
What would Jenny do? Let's just say that stuff just started happening here.
Yeah.
Just out of the blue. And we couldn't really pinpoint it to like some antique or something that we recently got. Because obviously we don't have anything like that happening here. But let's just say,
knock on wood.
And we're just baffled as to what's going on. What does Jenny do?
I think the first thing would be to try and ask.
Well, that was my story. Nothing's ever happened since. And that one time I had all my friends see it, and they all got experience too. So.
All right. Thank you for the call.
I'm not going to do the cliche, but do a good job, guys. I love listening to y'all show. I'm actually working now, but I listen to y'all every night. Love the show.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Bye-bye. It'd be funny if he's like, I'm not going to do the cliche. I'm going to do, I hate you guys. I hope you burn in hell. Goodbye. So
I'm not getting out of that.
No, you're not getting out of that. He didn't save you.
I think I would first try asking it to leave, because that's what we tell everybody to do first and see if that helps. Then after that, it's on you because you're here too.
So you're throwing it back. You're ping ponging this back at me. Jenny would tell it to F off, says Bailey. what would I do? I don't know. Try and make friends with it.
Would you?
I don't know. I mean, it really just kind of depends what it is. I mean, if it's just like unexplained weird shit, like door handles going, my first thing would be asking it just to stop.
Yeah.
Like you said. And then if it stopped or if it just kind of was like intermittent and that was the most extreme of it, I don't know that I would do a whole lot to go further unless it really did reveal itself as being something really not good. If it was just little things here and there, a little knocking, a little bit of door handles, but that was it, I would be a little fearful to go in and try and eradicate it more because I'd be afraid it would stir it up worse.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, well, I'm good where you're at. If this is the worst of it, okay.
Okay.
But I don't know that I'd want to take it much further. At this point, you'd be like, let's list the house.
No, I have literally put blood, sweat, and tears into this house. I'm fighting for this house.
Jenny's going to haunt this house someday.
I might.
Comes with Jenny. We'll put that on, tell the kids to put it on the listing someday. My mom's there. You get my mom with the house. I could see it. The phone lines are open, 216-446-7810. 216-GHOST-10 is our phone number. East of the Rockies, 216-446-7810. 216-GHOST-10. West of the Rockies, and the wild card line is 216-446-7810. I got a chance to listen to...
It's the same number.
I know.
You are going to confuse some listeners who don't realize that's an Art Bell thing.
I think everyone realizes it's an Art Bell thing.
Okay.
And George Norris still uses that system to this day. I brought that up because I did get a chance to listen to his tribute show to Art today. I got a chance to stream that and listen to it. He did it, I think, last week. And it was done really, really well. It was interesting because there's the hardcore fans of that show. Some hate George, some love George, some are indifferent, some are. There was, you know, some tension there. No one will ever really replace Art. Art was Art. I've enjoyed George, and it's a different type of show, but it's still a paranormal show. And that's just kind of how it moves on. You pass the torch and that's what happens. But he did a really tasteful, really cool, really interesting retrospective. Lots of old clips, lots of things I forgot. I remember listening to in my bedroom as a teenager at night, hearing for the first time when Art was talking to some people that I think certifiably you could look back on and say we're crazy. I mean, like this guy thought he was flying into Area 51. I think it was probably a hoax. Very well made up, and the guy really was putting on quite an elaborate prank call.
Yeah.
A hole to nowhere that went absolutely nowhere. Really interesting radio. His ghost shows were a whole different ball of wax, and those are really like what our show is, where you take people at their word and you hear their stories. But there was a lot of moments on his show that were just so, oh my God, people, I think he was a target for prank callers.
Sure.
But that was the neat thing about Art is he didn't screen his calls. He took his calls live, and you got what you got. Mm-hmm. And you got a lot of great, authentic people, and you also got people that could really put on a show. And I think Art enjoyed it almost as much as they did, even if he knew it was a prank, just for the theater of the radio.
You were entertained either way.
You were. You really were. But it was really interesting to hear that. If you get a chance to stream that, I know it's up on the Coast to Coast thing. But very well done by George. Let's do a caller at area code 801. Hi, you are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Dang it, after that, I was going to ask if I was caller 10, but I guess I won't tease you.
You're caller 10? You want a free leg and thigh chicken dinner from Ma and Pa's Grocery Express. Congratulations.
Sweet. Yeah, hey, I'm from Utah.
Okay.
Just call me Mr. Utah. How's that? Will that work for you?
Sure, Mr. Sure. Utah.
Okay. So I've got three stories. Feel free to cut me off at any point. They're all pretty quick. One's a little bit longer.
Okay.
First one, when I was about 18 years old, my family and I were watching Tommy Boy upstairs, and I was laughing to myself, and I started walking down the stairs, and my bedroom was at the very end of a hall, and it was a flex room that had been converted into a bedroom, and so it had double glass doors, and if there was any light outside, which usually the moon was shining through, then you could see the moon coming through, and it was usually just a perfect square of moonlight. And one time I came walking down those stairs, and I turned right to go down that hall, and I saw some a figure or something that was obscuring that perfect square of moonlight. And I looked down, and I was squinting at it, trying to figure out what it was, because it looked vaguely humanoid, and it shifted weight from 1 foot to the other, and I have really bad fight or flight. I get really bad, I get angry when I get scared. And so I started to charge this thing and flip the lights on as I started running down the hall, and the thing vanished. And so anyway, so I know you guys get a lot of stories like that, but the next one that happened was actually, I served an LDS mission. Are you guys familiar with the LDS Church with the
Latter-day Saints, right?
Yeah.
With the LDS Church.
Yep.
Yep. Sure. Bingo.
Yep.
For people who don't know, typically young men at age 18 now, in that church have an option of serving a mission. And I was sent to Germany, and there is this lady who had approached missionaries in my in what's called my district, which I was in charge of, and asked them to come cast out spirits in this house. And so we did what's called an exchange. So I went with one elder to this place, and we had kind of left the city. And this was in you can look it up. It's called Schloss Duneck, so Castle Duneck. It's kind of in the western north part of Germany. Mm-hmm. And we're riding on this bus, and we keep getting further away from the city, and it took us a little bit longer to get there than we thought, and by the time we had gotten there, it was fall time, so it was dark pretty early, and it started to rain, and we started passing these really big houses. And if you guys have ever watched like a Pride and Prejudice movie, like my wife has made me watch, these were estates. So these were massive buildings, massive houses, with more houses for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of guests to come visit these really wealthy people. So we started laughing because there was lightning in the background and it was raining. And I honestly, the way I set this up, I would not blame anybody if they didn't believe me, nor do I care. I'm not a big ghost guy. I've only had three experiences in my entire life, and they were all within like 2 years of each other where I had any kind of experience with that stuff. So we started laughing to each other because it was kind of, you know, we saw this big old house up on the hill, and, you know, lightning was flashing in the background. And we kept going and realized that we'd missed the address, realized it was that creepy old house up on the hill, but there weren't any lights on. So we started heading up there, and realized that there were more houses behind it. And like I said, it was one of these big estates, but it was really eerie because with these buildings that were on the property, there were no lights on in any of them. And we checked the address, made sure we had the right one. And we walked around the back just to look at the property more, and we noticed that there was a single light on in the corner of the house. So we knocked on the back door, which had kind of this canopy thing that came out and actually entered into this big, when the lady answered the door, it entered into this ballroom. We were soaking wet at that point. So you can kind of see how this is like, we'd be laughing to ourselves thinking, you know, this is, any Hollywood producer would be drooling to go and visit this place for inspiration for a movie. So we didn't think anything of it. This lady opens these, they had these massive coat closets with all these clothes in them, and the lady pulls them open, and you know, like I said, it was an estate, and these were typically where they put coats for all these people. It was just closet rack after closet rack of clothes, and the lady picks out a white shirt and gives it to me and says, "You're about that size." Does the same for my companion. And so we go in and change, and she sits us down in this tiny little room in this massive house. And this house, I think, is like 20,000 square feet. It's a massive place. And that might be smaller or bigger, I have no idea, but just to put it into scale. And so we said, okay, well, we understand we're here to cast out spirits for you. She said, yeah. And I said, okay, well, we're Christian. We believe in God and Jesus Christ, and we don't believe in a vacuum. We believe that to get rid of bad spirits, we need to invite a good one. We need to invite the Holy Ghost. And in order to do that, we would need to pray. And she said, nope, I don't want anybody praying in here. For some reason, she was under the impression that that would just make it worse. And she used to tell them how she had other churches of all kinds of faiths come in, and they couldn't help her. And I thought that was interesting, since she wouldn't, you know, let us practice our religion at all. So she was nice enough. She fed us, and she had one other lady that was staying there, or at least would stay there during the day, and it was her maid. And she said that her maid would only clean the main floor during the daytime. And so she excused her maid. We watched her drive off, and we went back into the house. And I said, well, you know, if you don't mind, we'd love to kind of look around. And I was hoping at that point that she might let us help her if we kind of took our time. And so we started going around the house, and we were filming it because we thought the house, this big mansion, this estate was so incredible. And these rooms were so big and so vast. We started going from room to room, and I was picking up books and keys and things like that that were, had to be really old. I picked up a copy of Mein Kampf that she had laying on a table when I was filming it, and a big key, and my companion was on the other side of the room doing the same. And she was going to show us this book that was over on the other side of the room. And so we were only in the corner for about 2 seconds. And I turn around and see that this big giant metal key that I was holding in the center of the room. And the chair had been moved out about 20 feet as well. And I looked at my companion, and because I'm more of a logical person, you guys would call it a skeptic. Mm-hmm. I looked at my companion and said, you know what, dude, if you're going to pick stuff up, if you're going to look at them, then you need to have the courtesy to put them back. And he's like, dude, I wasn't even close to that. And I said, okay, whatever. At this point, we had a bad feeling, but like I said, it's not that I don't believe in spirits. I've had my experience, but I usually look for the logical explanation first, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
I put the key back and we moved the chair back, and I made note that the floor was so old that if somebody had walked into that room that we would have heard them. So we go into the next room, and I see, again, you guys would call it a shadow person. I saw a dark figure
leaning up against a doorway, and I could see them from across the room, so I started to pursue them, and they were there until I was about 15 feet from them, and then they just vanished. And I looked, and they had kind of this little vanity mirror that was leaned up against, or not leaned up against the wall, but up against the wall there. And etched in the, it was a mirror with like kind of like a nightstand in front of it. I'm not sure what you'd call that, except for it was bigger. It had drawers and things, kind of like a vanity mirror.
Sure.
Anyway, etched into it were the, I think it's called like a pentagram, or, you know, with the lines and the characters and all that.
Sure.
And anyway, skipping all the theatrics and trying to shorten the story up, we tore the upstairs and everybody had, it was a massive house. You can imagine a really big hotel. There was the three stories above that main floor that were just rooms and rooms for people to stay in. And the lady went to tell us that the house was built by a wealthy American, bought by a German. It was Hitler had taken it from that German at one point, and his soldiers lived there for a while. Then World War II, the British came in, and part of the war was actually fought on that estate. And after that, the German government took it back, and then she told us it was a hospital for a while. And then eventually another owner bought it, and then her grandfather bought it, and her family at that point had lived in it, all her aunts, uncles, and cousins, and one by one, they had just picked up and moved in the middle of the day, in the middle of the night, without warning, and forfeited any inheritance that they had to the estate. They just didn't want it. They just left. And so we're up in the second floor, and there's this room, and I can hear voices from the other side of this door, but I can't make out what they're saying. And so at this point, I'm thinking, okay, whoever's been, you know, playing tricks on us, I'm going to bust them right here. And I open the door, and there's nobody there. There's a suitcase that's half open with clothes coming out of it. And there's a hospital gurney and a bed that are skewed in the middle of the room. And I had this sick feeling in my stomach, and I close the door and look down the hall, and I see another figure walking down the hall towards us, and then it takes a left and turns into a wall. And they had kitchens and laundry rooms and things like that up there to help with people that were staying there. And we walked into this kitchen, and there was a cutting board with some moldy carrot or turnip or something that somebody had been in the middle of cutting and then just left there. And they had a pot. Somebody had been cooking something and just left it there. And the maid wouldn't even go upstairs to clean. The lady only lived in what used to be the servants' quarters, with just a bathroom, a kitchen, and her bedroom, all in 800 square feet of this massive house. And to make a long story short, we went back downstairs, and she was telling us that she was the sole owner, and we could hear, you know, things happening around the house. We finally went back into this ballroom that we had come into, or at least near, and we could see these 20 by 30 foot mirrors. And there's about five or six of them lining each wall in this massive ballroom. And they had this massive chandelier with, you know, spider webs and everything. And we're filming it. And as we're filming it, we're amazed at how the room just kind of dwarfs this couch that she had in the corner and this piano she had in the other corner. And as I'm looking around, I see through this mirror, I'm looking kind of down at my camera, but I can see up in the corner of my, up at the top of my vision, my peripheral vision, I can see something coming down the hall we had just come. And it was a black figure again. And it started coming up behind me, and I got the chills and was kind of waiting to see more what would happen. And as it got 10 feet or about 10 feet behind me, I looked up in the mirror, and it saw me see it. And it's almost kind of like time skipped, like a CD or something. It turned and ran down the hall, but it like jumped. So it was like 5 feet from me, then 15 feet, and then 20 feet. And it ran down this hall. And like I said, I had bad fight or flight and get angry when I'm scared. So I started chasing this thing, not running, but like briskly walking. and followed it down this hall, which went to a bathroom. I flipped on the light, and there was no other way for this person, had it been a person, to have gone anywhere. So anyway, we got out of there.
I guess my question would be, how did you not run at some of the first sightings of these things making themselves known to you?
Which are you talking about, the one that was down the hall and then turned left?
Yeah, like the first time you saw it. I mean, me personally, I think it would have been like, okay, I'm done.
I didn't know where they had gone.
Sure.
Yeah. You're saying got out of the house.
Yeah.
Good question.
Or is adrenaline just running so fast at that moment? You're just kind of like, I want to find out more. I want to find out more.
I think we had a desire to help this lady.
Yeah.
And through one thing I kind of left out while I was trying to shorten the story, and I left out a lot of details and a lot of theatrics. But one thing, we really legitimately wanted to help her get rid of her problem. Sure. And so I think, you know, the whole time I was trying to convince her, you know, just let us pray. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why we stuck around as long as we did. But as soon as one came up behind me to, I don't know, ambush me or do whatever it mm-hmm. thought it was going to do, you know, that's at that point, I was like, okay, we're done.
Sure.
I think that could be safely said that a state is beyond help.
Yeah, I mean, there's just some things I don't think that
I think that estate is beyond help. I don't think anybody's going to be able to go in there and clean it of all its things that it has going on because of the history.
No.
You know, there's just too much. There's too many things. There's layers upon layers of paranormal there. And I think it's just to get all of it. I don't know if anybody can do that.
Right. Sorry. I'm obviously bad at calling in, but one thing we did, find out later when she said it was a hospital, we found out later it was actually an insane asylum.
Yeah.
She at one given day within 24 hours, and it was a government owned mental hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And at one day within 24 hours, three people, not back to back, but three people jumped off the third story and into the main lobby. And killed themselves.
And things like that where you have, you know, folks like that who are in there trying to get help, trying to be treated, trying to be cared for. But then you have all of these things on top of it that someone who is not suffering from things of that mm-hmm. nature are going to be experiencing. That must make the world 10 times harder for someone who is suffering from a mental disorder to try and just function, because you're dealing with paranormal, and then the caretaking staff around you was like, oh, it must be the disorder, when half the time it's not. It's the environment.
It almost sounds like something was coercing them to jump, because that's very unusual for that instance to happen three times the same day the same way.
Guaranteed.
And for all of them to be independently cared for in their own rooms, not really have contact, and then just all in one day just decide to do the same thing.
Well, that was one hell of a story.
You probably have other callers on the line, so I'll let you go.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that tonight. It was a really, really good story. Thank you so much.
Yep.
The phone number is 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10, to call in and share your ghost story with us. Things like that, it's like an onion, you know?
Yeah.
To fully eradicate something like that. I know he went in with the best intentions of trying to get rid of whatever was there, but the only way to do it would take years and years and years and years.
Well, and to his credit, they hadn't been given the history until they got there to help. And I would have noped the fuck out of there when it was lightning and you walk up and it's a creepy estate. I would not have done that.
I think that's a new Jennyism. I would have noped the fuck out of there.
I would have. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would have. Yeah, that's a great line. I like that. I would have noped the fuck out of there. but I was the onion thing. It's you get, you know, one layer gone, and then you have a whole other layer of this, you know, traumatic, you know, imprint on the property. And then you get that one, there's another one. It just keeps going and going and going. And you don't know what you're dealing with because they're all kind of presenting themselves at their own pace.
Yeah.
And seeping through wherever and whenever. So how do you, you know, how do you even deal with something like that? Or is it just the answer is you can't?
I don't even know how you begin, because that's going to be something way more than one person can handle.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. The phone number is 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10. The lines are open. You guys, if you wouldn't mind, press share on this. Let's other folks know that we are doing this. Other folks who have subscribed to us and pressed like. But, of course, Facebook has their algorithm where it only feeds it out to so many people at a time, unless that share button is pressed. So if you don't mind, press share. Let other folks know that we are doing this show. It does help us tremendously in getting more callers on the line. Caller at our old area code.
Yeah.
Caller at 316. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Oh, I can hear you. Can you repeat that?
I can hear you. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Illinois, but I was originally from Kansas.
Okay.
And I don't know if you guys been to the El Dorado area.
We live very close to it.
Town?
El Dorado, Kansas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were in Wichita for a good portion of time. So, yeah, we are very familiar.
Well, anyway, I don't know if you know, there was this old theater that's like you can rent it for whatever, but that I have stories about that in the building next to it.
Let's hear it.
I'd love to hear that. My best friend was actually married in that theater.
What happened was my uncle lived there several years before I did, and I don't know what happened, but I went down in the basement, went down the elevator, and the elevator was broken, and I ended up in the basement, and this, it looked like a wedding party was going on, but it looked old, like 1920s, you know? I'm like, well, that's weird. I kind of try to back out. And I was probably about 9 at the time, and I'm like, what's this? And it won't let me go, so I had to go, sorry, it's my first time telling this, but try to go all the way across the basement, up the stairs, just to get out. But anyway, years later, I lived in the same apartment building, and the manager at the time went to give me her child and whatnot, and the basement door was open. I thought she was down there because it was doing work, and I heard some music to people talking, and I went down in the basement. I was still to hear the music as I went down into the basement. I couldn't hear them talking anymore. I thought they just went some floor of the park. And when I went down to the basement, like to the doorway, it just stopped. I was like, okay. Not having enough sense to turn back and run, I go to like this looked like a ballroom. We danced, and so I walked across stairs, stood in the middle of the floor, like, this is not right. So I ran back upstairs. I was like, that's all manager come down from the elevator, and I'm like, were you just downstairs? And she said no, and she wouldn't have gone into the basement unless it was something important, because she knows it was haunted as well. There's a lot more, but I'll probably start in about that. But
that's
it was really scary.
It's yeah. One thing when you're a kid and you're, you know, like you said, you were 9 at the time when you go down the elevator, you see something like that. So many things when you're a kid, you're just like, it could be the middle of the day and suddenly there's a wedding party in the basement of this building that there's no one else really at.
Right.
But you're just, you're a kid, so you're like, oh, maybe this happens.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of, there's a lot of acceptance to otherwise absurd things.
Right. You just don't realize that that's not normal.
Yeah.
The thing is, I found out years later from my mom that the landlord did not rent the basement out because it was prone to flooding a lot.
Sure.
Sure.
But probably at one time, though, I'm guessing it probably had been used.
Yeah, it was probably the place in town.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's quite a story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us. We do appreciate that.
All right. Thank you.
You have a great night. I've never been to that location.
Uh-huh.
Have you? You've been to that
I've been
location.
There. My best friend, like I said before, she got married there. I didn't feel anything other than it was just old.
Yeah.
And this theater also housed quite a collection of antique cars and car memorabilia from the owner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Pickers even stopped
there. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's a pretty well-known place in that neck of the woods.
Sure.
But, it's hard to know when you go in an old theater because you just have to write it off as it's haunted.
Yeah.
But I can't really feel by what, you know?
Sure. That's a neat little town.
Yeah.
Is that the town with the antique store that has the old apartments upstairs that I loved wandering through? Or was that a different town?
That was Augusta.
That was Augusta. Okay.
Yeah, that was Augusta. There used to be this cool, you would have loved it. It was a really, really old schoolhouse, two-story schoolhouse that was an antique mall there.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going through there as a little girl, and it was creepy. And I'm sure it would just be that much more creepy now. But when the owner died, the kids just closed it up, kept all the stuff in it, kept the schoolhouse. Nobody's been in it for like 20 years, but it's still as it was.
And all the stuff is there.
All the stuff's in it.
God.
It makes you wonder.
Like, why? Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
Why?
You know?
Yeah.
They don't even want to get the stuff out.
Why didn't they like hire a auction company or something? Go in, like, just let's empty this out, make whatever we're going to make and be done with it.
Yeah.
Wow. That other one I was thinking of was a neat place, that antique store that I was thinking
of. Yeah.
It was the downstairs was like an old shop, you know, like a downtown shop with all the, like the tin ceilings and everything.
Right.
And then the upstairs had been apartments for years, with all the old wallpaper, which is now peeling off of the walls. And to go through the antique store, you really had, there's like usually nobody up there, but all the carpets there, like just as if someone was still living there, and all the rooms kind of had stuff in, and it was just creepy wonderful. And they even had ghost, the lady, because I even asked her,
I know,
you got any ghost stories here? She's like, yeah, we do.
And I have a story to tell you later. Because I don't want to say who's it's about, but...
Can you be generic about it at all?
It's somebody that you worked with that I knew before I knew you.
Okay.
Their son went in and he was renovating that. He got hired to update all that to get it actually livable again.
Sure, okay.
He, like I said, noped the fuck out of there because of stuff. Yeah.
Didn't we buy something there was something you were looking at in like one of the back rooms there.
And I was done. I was done.
You didn't do it, though. You didn't
buy
it. But you were close to getting it. It was like a window or something. What was it?
I wasn't going to do it. It was a screen door.
Yeah, it was a screen door. Yeah.
I wasn't going to do it. No.
Because of where it was?
Because of that. It's like, is it this thing or is it this room? I don't know. Not willing to take that chance.
Can an object get something attached to it just by being in the presence of other objects that have something attached to them?
If they like it better, why not?
If you're like, I'm sick of this vase, I'm going to go over to the screen door.
I've been stuck with this dresser for decades. I'm going over here.
Most disturbing object you ever saw at an antique store. I know what it is. Go.
Slave headstones.
Yeah. In northern Wisconsin, or like midway through Wisconsin.
It's like, why? Yeah. What respectable antique store is going to sell this?
I'm guessing they didn't know what it was.
Well, I'm not going to go back there because...
No.
Not going to do that.
No, that was bizarre. And you had, because I didn't know what they were.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is that? And you came and pointed it out to me, and it was like, oh my God.
It's like, no, you don't do that.
No. And I'm guessing, I mean, if the owner doesn't know what it is, because it was like a consignment antique store.
Yeah.
It was probably like, I don't know, it was like, well, you didn't know.
That's your job, is to know what's in your store.
It is, but there's so many things. And if that's something that is not, keep in mind, we're talking Wisconsin.
Right. So, but if you have an antique store, you know kind of what things are. But
you should.
The thing is, somebody, I'm sure I'm not the first person that knew what that was, could have told them,
pointed out.
This
should not be sold.
You should not be selling this. Yeah. You need to quit that.
I wonder how many, you would certainly think.
And what kind of idiot buys that?
I don't know.
And I'm going to leave that. I'm not going to even apologize. If you buy a slave gravestone, you are an idiot.
There's no reason to apologize for saying you're an idiot if you're buying a slave gravestone. I mean, unless you can identify whose it is and where it's from and you're going to return it, that'd be like the only reason to buy it.
You shouldn't sell anybody's gravestone. No. But, I mean, I just couldn't believe that. Yeah.
Unless your intent is to return it to its rightful space.
Yeah.
But
that would be the one exception. If you know where it goes.
Exactly. Yeah. Lots of good comments tonight, you guys. Thank you so much for weighing in. If you ever guys visit Portland, Oregon, check out the Kennedy School. It's a historic Victorian era school that has been preserved and converted into a hotel, many bars, themed music venue. The McMerrin brothers have bought many of the old buildings in the area and turned them into cool art-filled bars like that. Interesting place to check out. We may be there in fall.
In fall, we've got a event to go to. Yeah. So maybe we'll check that out for a drink. We're not going to stay there, though.
That would be, I'm going to put this on our to-stay list, and I'm going to tell Jenny we're staying at the La Quinta, and we're just going to be like, look, honey, look where we're staying.
I'm going to know pretty quick, and you'll be staying there, and I'll go someplace really nice. Really, really expensive, too.
Just to, but we may be over in that area in fall.
You know what I want to do when we go over there?
What?
I totally want to be the dork that I am and go to the Goonies town up there.
Oh, I thought you wanted to go get like Mullenberry pancakes or something.
No, I want to go up to Astoria and I want to do the Goonies tour. There's like a tour that you can see all the sights from the movie and stuff.
Is that where they filmed it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is it like a bus tour? Is it like the real Peterman bus tour?
It's probably the real Peterman bus tour. Kramer's taking you around and you get like a muffin stump as your refreshment.
It's like one of the like extras on the movie like is now like, hey guys, and he's all like,
right.
He's like 50 years old and not in the greatest shape anymore. But what was one of the candies in the movie, you know? I'm trying to even. There was candy. What was
Baby Ruth?
A miniature Baby Ruth.
You could give a Baby Ruth sloth.
And then you get to go around, and that's how it works. All right. Well, that's going to probably wrap up our program for the evening. Thank you guys for tuning in and joining us again for Spirits with Spirits here on Tuesday night. We love doing this program. Thank you guys for spending the time with us tonight. And if you're listening to the podcast, thank you so much. Press subscribe, whatever platform it is you listen to us on. We cannot do this thing without you. If you're not an EPP yet, please become one. Sign up. Ghostpodcast.com is where you can do that. You can sign up directly through the website or through Patreon. The link is all there at ghostpodcast.com. I'm about ready to cough, so I'm going to wrap this up. Okay. Until next time, for Jenny Brusky, I'm Tony Brusky. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
There we go. You made it.
I turned my mic off, too. All right. Good night, everybody.